We're going to be jumping around. Yeah. We're going to be jumping around. And we're going to start in Genesis 21. If you have a Bible or a phone, or if you want to follow along. We're going to go to Genesis 21. And then we're going to go to Isaiah after that. So Genesis 21.
21?
Yep. And in this section of Genesis, it's about the birth of Isaac. So Abraham having Isaac, and then also about Hagar and Ishmael. And then we're going to be reading the kind of third section of this. It's going to start in verse 22. So dealing with Abraham. So at that time, Abimelech, I don't know how to say that, and Phicol, I don't know how to say these names. The commander of his army said to Abraham, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore, swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my descendants or with my posterity. But as I have dealt kindly with you, so you will deal with me and with the land where you have sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. When Abraham reproved Abimelech after a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized, Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, and I have not heard of it until today. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a covenant. Abraham set seven ewe lambs of the flock apart, and Abimelech said to Abraham, what is the meaning of these seven ewe lambs that you have set apart? He said, these seven ewe lambs you will take from my hand, that this may be a witness for me that I dug this well. Therefore, the place was called Beersheba, because there both of them swore an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, rose up and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned many days in the land of the Philistines. So we're going to focus in on that last verse where Abraham called God the everlasting God. And that's what we're going to be focusing on. So we've been doing a series on the names of God. And today we are talking about El Olam, everlasting God or eternal God. So in this section that I just read, Abimelech is a king. And interestingly, I was just looking up, this is just kind of a side note. He's the king of Gerar, king of the Philistines. But that name Abimelech is not a specific person's name. Anybody who is king has that name Abimelech. So it's like this dynastic kingdom. So like the king before him was Abimelech and this king is Abimelech. So people are like, this may not be one that was referred to before in other verses. But anyway, so Abraham is wandering through the Philistines' land. And Abimelech recognizes that God is with Abraham. And he says, like, whoa, like, God is favorable to you. So please make sure that you don't come against me. I've been kind to you. Please be kind to me because I know who backs you, right? I know that God has your back. And if God has your back, I don't want him coming for me if I come against you. So he's like, I'm being kind to you because your God is powerful. And the Philistines did not believe in God, but Abimelech knew that the God that Abraham served was powerful and strong. And so he worried about that. And so in this situation, Abraham, it seems as though he became more bold to be able to say, oh, okay, so you understand that God has my back. So now I'm going to make sure that you give me my well back. And this is a well that he had dug, but something had happened that people had taken over saying it wasn't Abraham's well. And at this time, and even today, water is so precious. And when you have water, there's power that comes with having water. There's like, you can be established in an area and in a land, and that becomes your home. If you have claims to that water, this can become a place for you to dwell. And so it was really important. So Abraham had the boldness to say to Abimelech, that's my well. And Abimelech, because out of fear and respect for God, gave him the well. And they made a covenant that was even stronger with these lambs to be able to have that covenant set kind of in stone, if you will, for it to not be able to be taken away from Abraham in the future. And so this is the first time that in the Bible that Abraham, or anybody, says, or calls God the everlasting God. And so let's go to that name, everlasting God. So El Olam, which means, so El means might, strength, or power. So El Olam, Olam for a long time, always, and forever. So El was sometimes the name that was given to God. And so Abraham was saying that you are a God that has no beginning and no end. You are mighty, you are strong, you are powerful. And then that forever, the idea of like forever, forever in the world, the universe, forever, everlasting in time and space. So just this little word, there's a lot of meaning that's there. And so I think it's very significant that Abraham recognizes that God was an everlasting God. And though Abraham knew God and he'd received a son from God that was a miracle, right? There's something about this situation with Abimelech that also, I think, opens up Abraham's heart to understand God more fully as an everlasting God, as a God who has no beginning and no end. At least that's the first time that it's written. You got the littlest thing. So for Abraham to say that now, it doesn't mean that they have ever used that before this, but it's the first time it was written down in Scripture. So El Olam, everlasting God. So we're going to look at a few other places where El Olam is talked about. So we're going to go to Isaiah 40. And then we're going to start in verse 25. So another situation where God is referenced as being eternal God or everlasting God. And in this situation, the Israelites, Babylon came, destroyed Jerusalem, and took into exile Judah. And so they are in exile in this situation. And Isaiah then is prophesying. And in verse 25, Isaiah says this. All right. Talking to the Jewish people. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. So he's talking about the stars in the heavens. By the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So in this situation, the Jewish people were in exile, so they were taken by the Babylonians. And if you think about that, like, I have no idea what it means to be taken from my land, right, as in captivity, and then to live there with my people, and being told about a God that I may not have really connected with personally, but I know of him, and then to feel left by him because this has all happened, right? And so Isaiah is reminding them that God is everlasting. He's the beginning and the end, the creator of the universe. And he's saying, at the end, he's encouraging them, at the same time helping them recognize who God really is. Because they're questioning, They say, my way is hidden from the Lord. My right is disregarded by my God. They're in a hard situation. So of course they're feeling that way. I mean, I feel like that would be a human response. When all this bad stuff is happening, so God must not be with me. And he's saying, no, God is with you. And in this situation, also, it says, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. Though you are growing weary, though you feel faint, he does not. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I'm sure the people hearing this are like, yeah, right. You know, like that doesn't feel like that's real, right? But God over and over shows up in their journey. He continues to rescue them. He continues to be present in their hardship. And a lot of their hardship is done because of things that they did, choices that they made, and yet he continues to rescue them from these people. So we had Abraham recognizing God as the everlasting God, and in a situation where God had just shown up and given him a son, ended up having two sons, one with his servant woman and then one with his wife. Then the Philistines come, and he sees that God has his back, and so he's recognizing God as being the everlasting God. And then we have Isaiah encouraging the people after they've been taken into captivity by the Babylonians. I don't know how many years they'd been there. It's pretty recent. Jerusalem had fallen, and they must feel in despair. And for Abraham, going back to Abraham, if he didn't get that well back, it could mean real travesty for his family to not have access to water. Because then you rely on other people for water, and then they have power over you. And so this would give Abraham a sense of power. And God showed up in that. Because this other king knew that God was powerful. And so Abraham's saying, like, they recognize your power. I recognize your power. I see you for who you are. And you've continued to show up for me. So now we're going to go to Psalm 91 through 2. This psalm, interestingly, is written 90, 1 through 2, just the very beginning. This psalm is written by Moses. We think of most of the psalms as written by David, which a lot of them are. This one is written by Moses. And we know, I mean, the things that Moses went through and the wandering in the wilderness and, you know, like everything that the people were dealing with. And so Moses writes this psalm. And it is the title, which I know he didn't give, but it's called From Everlasting to Everlasting. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, forever you had formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. I don't know exactly when Moses wrote this. I'm sure it did not happen before they were in the wilderness. And so him saying that the Lord, you have been our dwelling place. It's interesting because one of the last song that I sang, I wrote that the last couple weeks about wherever God is, that's my home. You know, when I'm with you, I'm home. And so I thought it was very interesting then to find a psalm where Moses is saying the same thing. Lord, you have been our dwelling place. When I'm with you, that's my dwelling place. That's my home. That's my refuge for him. So, Moses recognizing that it's not the... him recognizing that it's not the location... It's God being with them that becomes their home. And I think that that's really powerful. And in the same, in those verses, he is saying, you are from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Right? From beginning to end. Before time and after time, you are outside of time. And so just looking at these different situations where these people are recognizing God as being the beginning and the end. Right? He is being everlasting. He is He is without time. Are situations that are desperate, right? Abraham needed that well. The people had just been taken in captivity by the Babylonians. Moses had been wandering in the wilderness. I don't know exactly when he did this, but he knew, 40 years in the wilderness. That is a long time, right? And so who knows exactly when he wrote this psalm, but he had that understanding of journeying through the wilderness, of God showing up in a cloud and, cracking open a rock and giving them manna and all these different things. And he's like, you are God. You are bigger than all of this. I get to situations, that are challenging for me, but I look at these situations these people are in. This is like life and death. This is like captivity for an entire people, right? Or not having water, so you may not survive, or you might be enslaved to somebody else who has that water, or you've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. All of these things, they are bigger than the things that I've gone through, right? There are these huge things, and still they recognize God as being everlasting. The last one I want to go to is Romans.
Oh, man.
All right, we're going to go to Romans 16. El Olam, or Everlasting God, doesn't show up many times in the Bible. There's a lot of places that refer to that concept, but him as being Everlasting God. Saved! Safe. All right. Romans 16. And it's the very last of it. We're going to be in verse 25 and 27, or through 27, called the doxology. That's how it's labeled here. Now, to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. And I love that it's used again here, eternal God, and that it's connecting to Jesus. And so I want to read that one more time. Because all those other places, God was eternal, but this is where Jesus comes into the picture, which is our salvation, right? Mm-hmm. God present, Emmanuel. Now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to bring us into relationship with him, to bring us into submission to him, to understanding who he is and who we are. As his, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. So, I don't know, as I was looking through these verses and being reminded, and I think we all need reminding of how big God is, because I often try to make him smaller, much smaller than he is. Smaller so that I can understand him, smaller so that in some ways feel, not just as understandable, but almost like, I think sometimes I get in my head, like, that it's kind of like controllable, right? That it's like, I ask God for what he wants, and there's certain ways that God's supposed to show up, and he's supposed to match all of my expectations, and to continue to remember that God is outside of my expectations. He's outside of my control. He's outside of my power. He's not somebody that I just wield when I want to, or just ask when I want things. He is God, everlasting, outside of time and space. And it's still something I, even saying these and reading those scriptures, like, I don't understand. I don't understand how God is that big. I don't understand how time works. That God was before all of this and will remain, after for eternity. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that word. But I think it's a reminder that he is big, and he's bigger than all the things that I go through, and he's bigger than the hardships that I face, that any of us face, mm-hmm. and that any of us have faced throughout history. Mm-hmm. There are some hard things happening in the world now, And there have been hard things happening from the beginning of time. I mean, that's back in Genesis, right? That there were the Philistines and Abraham and kingdoms that wanted to rule over. And there's been hard throughout. But God is everlasting to everlasting. He is eternal. He's okay. He's okay. He is bigger than everything that we could face. So that is it. El Olam. That's the one we wanted to study today. So if anybody's listening to this, bless you. You are loved.